Bruce Merkin has been communications director for the Marijuana Policy Project since December of 2001. Prior to joining MPP, he was a freelance journalist covering health and social issues. His work appeared in a variety of publications, including the Miami Herald, San Francisco Bay Guardian, Men's Health and AIDS Treatment News. The more he covered the drug war, especially the controversies over medical marijuana, the angrier he became at the stupidity of government policies. As spokesman for MPP, he has been quoted in news media all over the country, including USA Today, New York Times, and a recent Scientific American podcast. Please welcome Bruce Merkin.
Thank you. It really is a kick to be up here with all these folks and see all the stuff, the activity that's going on around the country. And I should mention, by the way, because I don't think anybody has said in this session, that what you're seeing here is just a sample. There's a number of other marijuana initiatives being circulated right now around the country, all parts of the country. And we don't know yet exactly who's going to qualify, but I think a bunch of them will. And I think a bunch of them are going to win. You know, I'm an old believer in the old Yogi Berra line. I never make predictions, especially about the future. But I do think we're going to have some victories to count in November. And I want to, before I talk about the nuts and bolts of Nevada, I do want to talk a little bit about the big picture. And I'm glad sort of Steve kind of introduced some of the big picture arguments. Because while it is exciting, and I do personally believe that America is more receptive to this conversation that we're all trying to have with the country now than it's been for some time, we should be under no illusions that this is going to be easy. And we got some evidence just recently of how complicated our task is. You may have seen there was a bit of stuff in the news about a Pew Center poll came out about a month ago. They asked people about moral values. And they asked people about a bunch of different behaviors. Do you think this is moral or immoral? And one of them was marijuana. Do you think smoking marijuana is moral or immoral? And exactly 50% said using marijuana is immoral. 10% said it was moral. 35% said it wasn't a moral issue at all, which is not an unreasonable thing to say. But what that means is, and obviously that's a national survey. I'm pretty sure if you took that same sample in San Francisco, you'd get different numbers. But in other places, it would be worse. And the fact is that most places we go around the country, we are dealing with a whole lot of people who believe that we are trying to end the prohibition on something that's just wrong. Safe or not, just wrong. And that is a difficult nut to crack. On the other hand, it's not impossible. And I say it's not impossible because I know it, because it's been done before. I want to just go back in history a little bit to the repeal of alcohol prohibition. As most of you know, national prohibition was enacted by a constitutional amendment and then repealed by a constitutional amendment, meaning it had to go through Congress, and then to become part of the Constitution, two-thirds of the states have to ratify it. Now, I want to take a quick survey here. Don't shout out the answer if you know it. Just do a show of hands. How many of you know what state it was whose ratification put the repeal of prohibition over the top? I only see one or two hands. Utah. Now think about that. Because then as now, Utah was predominantly Mormon. Mormons not only don't drink, they think that using any mind-altering stimulant or drug is against God. So those legislators, they didn't pass the repeal of prohibition because their constituents all wanted to go out and get drunk. They saw it didn't work. Despite their moral feelings, their religious views about alcohol, they saw that prohibition made things worse. And that, in essence, is our message in Nevada. But we've got a more complicated task than they had trying to repeal prohibition in the late 1920s, because everybody then, prohibition was only in effect about 12 and a half years. They saw the before and after. They knew how screwed up it was. Most Americans have never lived under any marijuana policy other than prohibition. They've never seen what it's like. It's hard for them to even conceive. So we've gone into Nevada with a two-part message. Number one, our marijuana laws don't work. They don't make sense. Whether you think marijuana is good or bad or indifferent, it doesn't work. if you think the idea is to stop people from using it, well, 100 million Americans have used it. More than half have tried it by the time they graduate from high school. It's not working. But what do we do? What's the alternative? And so we've offered in Nevada, in the initiative that is on the ballot for November, a pretty fully formed system of taxation and regulation. It says, not only are we going to get rid of what's not working, but here is a practical answer. Adults 21 and older would be able to have and possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana, be able to buy it legally from licensed, regulated merchants, and those licensed marijuana businesses would have to adhere by a set of rules. They can't be closer than 500 feet to a school or a house of worship. They can't sell to anybody under 21. They can't even let anyone under 21 on the premises. They can't be located in a grocery store or convenience store or gas station, 7-Eleven, anything like that. And so what we are saying to the voters of Nevada is there is an alternative. We have laws now that don't work. There is a better practical, common sense way to do this through a system of regulation and control. And I know that we've got the other side nervous. I know this because they're already starting to fight dirty. About 6 or 8 weeks ago, voters in Las Vegas began getting telephone calls, ostensibly a public opinion survey. It was actually what's called a push poll. A push poll is when it sounds like you're asking people your opinions, but you're in fact trying to convince them that the other side is bad. And these alleged pollsters were calling people up and frankly flat out lying about the initiative. They were saying that it would put pot in convenience stores, in 7-Elevens. Well, we called them on that on our campaign's blog, which is a lot of fun if you want to keep up with the campaign, regulatemarijuana.org. And we're going to be very, very aggressive in combating this sort of nonsense when it comes out. The other thing we know, another sign that we're being taken seriously, is that one of the most powerful and influential political consultants in the state is running the opposition campaign. So this is going to be a hell of a fight. But we, I think, have a very exciting campaign plan. We've got a great team in Nevada headed up by Neil Levine. They've got some very creative ideas, not all of which I'm going to tell you about because I am assuming that the other side is here doing opposition research, and I'm not going to tell them everything we're going to do. But I can tell you that it's going to be interesting and exciting, and if you want to get involved, there's lots of ways to do it. Again, go to regulatemarijuana.org, read the campaign blog, which is updated just about every day with news. We were the ones who broke the news about the opponent's push poll. If you live in Nevada or you got friends and relatives who live in Nevada, we're going to have a field operation. This is not going to be just a media campaign. It's going to be a shoe leather campaign, too. We're going to be hiring canvassers and team leaders. If you know folks who would like to be involved, please send them our way or come on to our website and take a look. There's going to be lots of volunteer opportunities as well. And, again, it's all on regulatemarijuana.org. And we're going to have an effect on the state of Nevada. Thank you.